Romans chapter 1. We are continuing on Contending for the Faith, Creation and Evolution, and Romans chapter 1. Today we're talking about the Lord's witness that he is here, the Lord's speaking to us that he is here. And people sometimes say, well, if God's there, why doesn't he just show himself? And he does. He doesn't show himself physically because then we wouldn't have to have faith. But he shows himself in other ways. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them." So God says, inside of mankind is the ability where God manifests himself or shows himself to us. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So it says, nobody has an excuse to not believe in God. God says, everything about me I've manifested. I've shown that I am there. I've written it in the things that are created in the world. Because, verse 21, when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so we see there that God says, I have spoken, I have revealed myself to the creation of things in the world, and I have said, I am here, and it's built into you to know that I am there. And then if you go back to the book of Acts, just the next book behind this, chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, and verse 15 says, "And saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And so he says, I didn't leave myself without witness here. I've spoken to you. I've done these things. We'll get just to some scientific things here, but and some nature things, but just want you to see that it established with Scripture, because God says, I am here. I revealed myself in nature. He says, I didn't leave myself without witness, but I've been good to you. So he, first of all, he built into us that the knowledge of him. Secondly, he revealed himself and spoke to us. He speaks through nature that he is there, and he does that. And so, according to the Bible, everybody is built in the knowledge that there is a God, and that they see it also in creation. That is why, very simply, nobody anywhere in any culture, history, anywhere in the history of mankind became an atheist until they're taught to be one. You have to learn to be an atheist. Somebody has to teach you there's no God. If you let every culture and every history in the history of mankind, they didn't always know who the God was, but everybody looked around and said, hey, somebody made this. Always do. And you take a kid in America, he will believe in God until someone goes and tells him there is no God. But nature will not tell him that. Children and people growing up naturally believe in God. Every culture believes in God because it's built into them, first of all. And secondly, it speaks of it. Nature does. And so we're going to talk about that. The Lord's witness that he is here. Let's pray together. Father, I pray your Spirit would speak to us. I pray today that we would have wisdom. I pray that it would be powerful and convincing. And we would have the ability to defend the faith and contend for it and show that you are there, Lord, because you left yourself witness, as you said. I pray today, Lord, that as we go through this, you would please speak to us and do a mighty work. And I pray you give us wisdom and help us to cover and show the things in your nature just a little bit that show that you are there, Father. And we thank you for your word that reveals this to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll go one more passage back in Psalms chapter 19. So God looks down and he looks at you and I, and he looked at me and who wouldn't grow up in a Christian home, and he looks at you. And anybody who might grow up hearing that there is no God or whatever, and he says, okay, I'm going to prepare for that. I'm going to speak to you. I want you to know I'm there. I love you. I want you to be with me in heaven. I want you to know me. And so I'm speaking to you. I'm showing myself without removing faith, which by revealing myself, I would do that or remove the ability for you to have faith. And I want you to have faith. It's impossible to please God without it. But I want you to follow the evidences I left in Psalms 19. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." So heavens, the nature, it says specifically, the heavens declare the glory of God, the stars and everything in the universe. "And the firmament, the land, showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language where their voice is not heard." So somebody could be in the middle of the jungle and they can look around and say, "Hey, God has spoken. There is a creator here." No language, no speech where their voice is not heard. "Their line has gone throughout the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them have they set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Talking about the sun. And so God says, "I revealed myself. I'm creation is speaking, and I've said I'm there." If you were to go and let's say you were on a ship or on an airplane and it crashed or sunk, and you got in a lifeboat or use your flotation seat and got to an island, and you thought, "Well, is anybody on this island?" How hard it'd be to tell if somebody's on that island. You start walking around and you look around, you wander around the island, and somebody give me something that would give you a clue that somebody lives in the island. Fire pit. Okay. What's that? Houses, footprints. Brian? Fish netting. Okay. It wouldn't take much. If you walked along and you saw a rock on the ground, you'd say, "That rock could have been here forever." What if that was a arrowhead? Who could tell the difference between a rock and an arrowhead? Okay? If you just saw an arrowhead, all you need to do is see a rock that is shaped to the point on it with a little bottom part that's skinny right there, and you say, "A person made that." Wouldn't that be simple? An arrowhead's not very complicated. But if you saw an arrowhead, you'd say, "There's humans here. Rocks don't form like that. Rocks and up get shaped like that." It's pretty simple. Now, every scientist in the world that I would say that to would say, "Oh yeah, if I saw an arrowhead, I'd know a human there." And I'd say, "Okay, how about the universe? How about the creation of mankind's eyes? What's more complicated? The eyes of a human and the way it's reflecting upside down with millions of little sensors and the brain is reading that, or an arrowhead?" I mean, if a rock can't be shaped like that in nature, because in nature, accidents are very clear. They're without form, they're boring, and there's not much to them. And when something is made, it's very clear. If I look at this pulpit, I say it's made. If I look at the cooler back there that has water in it, I wouldn't say, "Huh, look at that. That cooler disappeared out of nowhere." And yet they look and say, "You know what? The human nervous system..." I was at the chiropractor and I was looking at the picture, and it had, you know, going from your brain stem, this nervous system, and a spinal cord goes down your spine, and in between every vertebrae goes out to each side and goes all the way out, all the way to the very end of your fingers, and goes all the way and puts sensors all the way out there, and it all reads it, and little electronic pulses are going and telling you everything, and it's all working. Your spinal cord can bend with your back, and your back goes like this and does all these things. And it's speaking and telling all these messages and doing all these amazing things. And my chiropractor, I had no idea his religious beliefs or anything. And he walked in, and I was looking at that thing. And I said, "You know, that's a pretty amazing thing. That all happened by accident and random mutation." And he just laughed. He says, "You know, I'm not real religious or anything." But he says, "And I've not met very many atheists, but they couldn't have looked at the human body. They couldn't have looked at the human body. Because a arrowhead would tell you that something intelligent is designing things. Yet the nervous system, how about the digestive system? All these things are screaming, 'I made this.' You don't look at anything. You don't look at a table and say, 'Huh, that thing.' You say, 'Somebody made that table.' You don't look at this microphone, but all these things are simplistic compared to our bodies and the universe. Logic would tell you that. If I saw an arrowhead, if I saw a very simple hut, I mean just a thatch on top and four little poles, I would say somebody made that. You'd know somebody had been there. There had been intelligence there. And yet everywhere around in nature, there is a million times a more complex thing. If you found a bed, all you need is somebody just laid out a little bunch of leaves over on top of each other in a square and laid down in it. You could see that, boy, somebody made that bed there. You would know that an intelligence had been there and made something. You could even tell when something of simple intelligence, like an animal, has been there. You can look and you can see, look, that an animal made that nest. An animal made that thing there. And that's not even high intelligence. It's obvious that it speaks to that. And God says, nature would tell you something if something was by accident or design. That's why everybody in the world and every culture, if they're in the middle of the jungle, if they're in the middle of anywhere, they look around and they say there's a God. Then somebody might come and tell them there's no God and we all happen by accident and this is random mutation and this is all accident and chance. And they might eventually believe that, but it wasn't in their nature to believe that, and nature wasn't telling them that. Nature told them by looking around, this was created and designed. It says, day unto day uttereth speech, it says in verse 2, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It's very clear there. I was reading a book, and I'll read it to you next week. I don't have it with me this week. But it was on the design of the human cell. And it was a quote by a man who helped map the DNA thing, and he was an atheist and spoke against it. And it was an interesting quote because it said, all biologists and chemists must constantly keep in mind when they're studying the cell that it is there by random mutation and not by design. That was his quote. He says, you must constantly keep in mind that while you're looking at these things, they happen by random mutation, not by design, because the cell is screaming design. The DNA is screaming design. Everything's screaming that something was designed. It's that there in everything. It's screaming that. Nature's speech is that there is a creator, and God does speak, and nature does speak. You don't have to think. You don't have to be a genius to look around and see that things were made. First of all, let me just give you a couple things where nature screams at us that there is a creator. Just some real obvious things in nature. And just start off with the big things. First of all, the order of the universe. The order of the universe. It's really funny if you just take a child and you tell them and you explain to them the theory of the origin of everything. Try to do it sometime. Not the biblical creation, because we know there's miracle involved. And you know what? You'll listen, they'll say, that makes sense. But if they've never heard anything, you just sit down and say, okay, here's where everything happened. First of all, once upon a time, that's the way it should start, is all fairy tales. Once upon a time, there was nothing. And then there was something. Zero times zero equaled one. And your child will go, as they should. And by the way, that's what all these theoretical astrophysicists and everything say. You have to use imaginary numbers. And one times zero equals one. And then there is that something there, and it was everything in the universe, the sun, it was this whole planet, it was the whole state and our house and every matter and every galaxy, 100 billion galaxies and 100 billion stars in every galaxy and sun and Pluto and Jupiter and Mars and all these things. And they were all compressed into a little tiny dot. Well, Mom and Dad, I thought you can't even compress water. Well, don't worry about that. It just was. And this little tiny dot, by the way, when I was in grade school, I remember the Big Bang Theory. They had a big poster on the wall in science class, and everything was one gigantic ball in the whole universe. But they realized the explosion had been too powerful. It was in that one big ball. It couldn't have scattered hundreds of billions of light years. And so then he said it was actually compressed into something the size of the sun, and that was when I was in junior high. And everything was compressed. And then they said, but then still you don't have a powerful enough explosion. Then they said everything's compressed in the size of the earth. And then they said, I remember when they got the size of a basketball. Still not powerful enough to scatter things. Well, the Hubble telescope is taking a picture of 12 billion light years one direction. That's a big scattering. So they said, well, it's actually compressed into the size of an atom. They said, that still won't work. So now the last one I heard, I don't know, maybe it's something smaller now, but a quark says it's compressed in the size of the building block for atoms. Okay, so, Johnny, everything was compressed into the size of a little speck smaller than a period at the end of your sentence. Everything in the whole world? Oh, Johnny, not just everything in the whole world, everything in the whole universe. Our world's not even a little speck in all this. And it all was compressed into that, and then it blew up. Ooh. And then it scattered everywhere, and went all the way, and it went everywhere in the universe. And then, in the middle of all that, Johnny, some of the things started floating. And there was one of those little things in the explosion that was on fire. And it just kept on burning and didn't come and didn't ever stop burning. And it just keeps on burning. That's our sun. Wow, that just happened by accident. It just came together with the right things that made it stay on fire. Isn't that neat, Johnny? And then our planet, all these little particles started coming together and swirling together. And they formed this amazing planet we live on. Wow, that's neat. Does that usually happen when things explode? Do things start coming together and piecing together and become order and things like that? Well, no, Johnny, but it did in this case. That's science. Oh, so science is a reproducible thing, right? Yeah, and they reproduce this, right? Well, no, you don't have to. See, it's if they say it, it's you have to. You don't have to reproduce it. But if Christians say it, it's not science because it's not reproducible. But in the Big Bang, they didn't reproduce that, but it really happened. Well, they reproduced a planet coming together and all the things coming together. Well, no, they haven't, but it is science. It's a fact. And if you don't believe it, you're like a flat earther because it is a fact, even though it's not reproducible. And it all came together into one big planet. And on that planet, it had water and it had a whole bunch of things. And you mean those specks and everything, just all the atoms floating around in the middle of space, all of a sudden after the explosion came together and water came out of that? Oh, yeah, Johnny, and it all came together. And then there's little tiny things called proteins and DNA and molecules, and over 1,500 of them came together, and they stuck together right in the perfect genetic code, and they all stuck together, and they formed into a life. Really? Just by putting those things together? You mean like if you mix things together, they become life? Well, no, Johnny, even though they came together, it's still not life yet, but what had to happen is something had to shock it to life, because even if you have all the DNA together, it's not life. So what happened is it got zapped by lightning. By the way, this is what they say. And when it got zapped by lightning, they said, whoo! Really? So you know, Dad, like if I see the lightning zap a puddle or a tree or something, it might come to life? Well, no, that's not really what happens, Johnny. But none of this is what actually happens. It just happened this one time. And you don't want to get zapped by lightning because it's not going to make you more alive. Lightning generally does not make you more alive. It generally kills things. But in this case, all those little particles that came together and had this incredible genetic code, it got zapped by lightning. It came alive, and it said, I want to make another one of me. And it had all written that little code just to split to itself. And then one day along the way, that little guy said, you know what? I think it'd be cool to have a tail. And it somehow, through its little ancestors, they had a little tail pop out. And that little tail had an incredibly complex system called a flagellum. And it had rotors and U-joints, and it had mechanical things in it. And it's all put together, and they all twisted and made that little motor go just like the motors. It's almost like an engine turning the drive line to turn the wheels of a car, only more complicated. And it just accidentally happened. Wow, that's an amazing little critter. Oh, that you don't know how amazing that little critter is. He eventually wanted legs, and he crawled onto shore, and then he wanted to be smarter, and he kept mutating, and he kept living, and he became a dinosaur, and he became a redwood tree, and he became an ant, and he became you, and he became an elephant, and he became a giraffe, and he became a spider, and he became a whale. Wow, that's an amazing little critter. Dad, come on. I believe Snow White more than this. You're messing with me. I know this isn't true. That's a funny story. You would think it is ridiculous if you hadn't heard it your whole life. And when those of you really learn to be a skeptic and really look at, be a skeptic of evolution, you start saying, give me a break. What was I thinking to believe that? okay, if all that happened, it wasn't happening without something controlling the whole thing. I can understand a theistic evolutionist saying, I believe in evolution, all that stuff happened. I don't agree with it. I don't think it happened. But if you said during that time something was guiding and making those things mutate that way, and something brought that DNA together, and something made that explosion, and something made that first matter, then I can understand that. If you say that all happened by random chance, and we went from a rock to a rock band, we went from an amoeba to Aristotle, and we went from parasites to something that starts with P, it's clever. If we went to all of that, we went to all these, to Picasso, but he's kind of weird. We went from all these things by accident, and one creature caused every plant, the dandelion, and the blue whale, one critter. What have you been sniffing? You're kidding me here. And you look at the sun, and if you just stop for a sec, you get so used to things, and we just get used to seeing things. If you think about it, it's kind of amazing. There's a ball of fire out there, and it doesn't go out. And it literally keeps on burning. And you know what? If that ball of fire, did you know if the they've been studying for 50 years trying to find a twin to our sun. 50 years, they've been taking all the telescopes. They're trying to find another sun like ours because they think if you find another sun like ours, because it's such an amazing sun, it's not real. It doesn't send too much radiation out. It's just the right temperature. It's not too old. It's not too young. Did you know if our sun was 0.4% brighter, intelligent life couldn't be on Earth? 0.4% brighter. And for 50 years, they've been looking and looking and looking and looking and looking and looking for a sun like ours. Because stars are very common. You find the same type of suns everywhere in the universe. They find twins. And they found two of these suns that were nearly twins, that were unbelievable alike. And they were kind of like our sun. One is called 18 Scorpio, and the other one is HD 98618. They are twins, and they're the closest two ones they can find to our sun. They are just like each other. And they said, these are the closest we can find out of anywhere in the universe. However, by the way, full-time scientists trying to find this, neither one of them have come close to being able to have life around it. They're too much different. It has to be perfect, the sun does. And you know what's strange? They find two of these and five of these and 10 of these stars and all these. But there's only one star they find that's unique that they cannot find a match for. Guess whose that is? Ours. Our sun is the perfect size, the perfect age, the perfect gravity, the perfect radiation, the perfect brightness. It is everything just exactly perfect. Well, if you can find a twin to ours, you've got to find a planet like ours. And guess what? They can't find a planet anything like ours. One book says 191 things have to be exactly right on our planet for it to be livable. Just too much chlorine gas, nothing to live. If it's a gaseous planet, nothing could ever evolve. If it's too hot, can't have it. Too cold. Our planet sits there, and we have a ball. And by the way, reproduce this in a lab of an explosion and then balls circulating around other balls. Try that sometime. And while it's circulating around that ball, it is sitting there and spinning, having 24-hour cycles. You know how perfect a 24-hour cycle is for life? Well, if it spins too slow, guess what? It's going to get 180 degrees during the day and negative 180 at night. If it's barely, like many planets do, they're barely twisting, and the sun just baking it all day long. Or going too slow, going too fast, it messes up all life, and things become unlivable. If the gravity's too strong, things just get squished. And a lot of planets are like that. They're too strong, and things just get squished. If it's too weak, things can't stay on the ground, and things don't develop right, and things don't grow right, and they don't do that. If the planet has an elliptical orbit, if our planet goes so perfectly around the sun, if it just goes like many planets do, like most of planets in our universe, by the way, you ever hear, hey, Mars at its closest point, it's going to be in 3,000 years, you hear that stuff? Because most of the planets that go around the sun go not in a perfect cycle around the sun, but the earth does. It's clockwork. It is not exactly perfectly the same distance all the time, but the variance is so minute that it doesn't change the temperature hardly at all. And it's very minute. Sitting here floating in a circle around a ball of fire at the perfect temperature, just exact right kind of sun they can't find a twin to, and it's just going in a perfect circle and spinning while it's going around that circle. And not only all that is happening like clockwork, there's a moon floating around us. Just a perfect moon. Just the right size, just the right rotation, and that is going around there. Now, if you just stop for a second, I think of when Isaac Newton, probably the greatest scientist of all time, very avid creationist. He had a solar system of our solar system, and he had it built in a large room, and it was just an amazing thing because it had the satellites around the planets and stuff. And you know, it was a long time ago, so it was primitive for that time, but it was still a mechanical universe. They could get the planets to spin and go around and have little things, but there was bars and things that made it go and everything. And one of his scientific friends walked in and said, "This is amazing." He said, "How and who in the world made this for you?" He said, "Oh, nobody." He said, "What do you mean?" He says, it just happened." He says, "Give me a break. It didn't just happen. Somebody designed all this." He says, "Listen, this is nothing like our universe. I got little things holding this stuff up." I said, "But you believe this universe happened by accident, right? It just happened." Guy was kind of quiet. He said, "If this thing here can't happen, how are you saying the universe happened? Can you stop for a second, forget it, just not be used to things and look at the big picture of the universe and say, God is saying I designed this?" Remember, Arrowhead says a designer. Now we're talking about planets in perfect rotation. But just think for a sec. Try to make a piece of anything without anything holding it up float around another piece of anything. Try to do that. Use magnetism. Use whatever technology you want. Just make it so there's nothing holding it together. And the thing in the middle, let's pretend like the sun and its gravity. It's magnetic and it's got gravity. Okay, fine. You got gravity in the middle holding it there. And relativity is an amazing thing. And God created it. That's what I'm saying, is God created it. But wait a minute. Try to get something to go in a complete circle and keep going in a circle around that thing. Well, just put a bunch of magnets everywhere. Okay, it's going to be pretty careful to get the magnets exactly right on the outside. So every direction when it goes, at no point does it just get pulled into a magnet out there, or the magnet gets weak out there and pulls it into the magnet in the middle. You understand what I'm saying? How complicated that would be to make it so it doesn't go one way or another. Our planet is just floating here. And by the way, nobody's bumping it, keeping it going. And then the little tiny thing circling around the one thing that's floating, has that little circling thing called our moon, can't get pulled in anything either. Why doesn't it, when it gets on the sun side of the earth, why doesn't it all of a sudden the sun just pull it toward it and the moon just start? Why doesn't the moon get pulled toward the sun when it's on the sun side, and when it's not on the sun side, float away from us? Isn't that pretty amazing? Try to design that sometime. You ever played with magnets and try to get something right between two magnets? It is amazing. You've got our little planet floating around the sun, rotating perfectly, just the right rate, going around the sun at just the right rate, with a moon going around us just the right rate, with just the right sun. And by the way, all that's happening, but every year, that same little ball floating in the middle of anything without a little string holding it up, every single year goes like this. Tilt. And then it goes tilt. It changes seasons so that things can grow, and then it can get rainy, and things can die and go into the ground, and then it can grow again. That one little ball floating around every year, twice a year, without fail, goes tilt very gently, and then it goes tilt. Back again, time for summer again. That's by accident. That happened from an explosion. That's pretty neat how the explosion made that thing tilt twice a year at just the right time to make seasons and make everything grow. God is saying, hey, clockwork is nothing compared to what I've done. Clockwork is nothing. You look and you see a mud hut, you say somebody made that. You got a ball floating in the middle of the universe at just the right temperature, going in the perfect orbit, made out of just the right materials, at just the right rate, with a little ball going around it, tilting back and forth, changing the seasons all year long, and that all happened by accident. You have to learn that one. You would never look at that and say that. The Earth is just the right makeup, has the right amount of water. It tilts 2 times a year. It has a process on it with the water cycle. Now, Johnny, on this one little ball that's floating around by itself and tilting twice a year, what happens is the water came out and a process was made where the water would come over the top of everything and then it would drop down on everything and then it'd be brought back out and then it'd go through the process again. You know, if there was an amazing process, if the water cycle was not like it was, where the heat didn't heat up the water, well, that's natural. Who designed it like that? Natural things don't happen like that. And then it goes back out, the same water. You know how many times we meet the same piece of water? I mean, it comes in, it rains on us here in Seattle more than in most places, and then it goes down and ends up in the river around here, goes out of Puget Sound or goes out in the ocean, it gets hot out in the ocean, it evaporates, goes up there, and little specks of dirt meet it as it comes back in again, and then it drops back down in rain or snow, comes down to us again, and then it goes back out again, and we have fresh water all the time. If it just stopped doing that one time, folks, life would end. And it keeps on doing that. It's amazing how that it even falls down. An explosion. There's no poison gas. The gravity is just right. Everything is just right. An explosion would do all that. If it was an explosion, by the way, when things explode, they all rotate in the same direction. If you have an explosion, if you blew up the pumpkin like we talked about, every piece, if it's going circularly, goes in the same direction. Planets in our solar system are going the same direction. They're rotating opposite directions. All these things, so complicated, so amazing, and yet we would know if we saw a rock. See, there's something in your nature that looks at things and say, you can look around this room, you can walk outside, and you can say, what is natural? What just happened by accident? And what is made? It's a nature of humankind. It's called simple logic. One man put it this way, if you walked on an island, you and you don't know who's been there, and you see a rock, you say, could have been there forever. Anybody could have been there. It could have been natural. Could have just been there for thousands of years. It could have just appeared 5 minutes ago. But it's just a rock. Who knows if there's anything behind this? But if you see a watch, you say, somebody designed that. That is, somebody else is here and something's different here. And you see something different there. And obviously something designed that. Well, they used to say that this argument, well, the watch and the thing, one is obviously made out of metal and one has got all these parts and movable parts and everything else. And so it's not a good comparison because we're talking about organic life and things like that, and things in nature do that. Well, that was interesting until we discovered DNA and microbial things. Now we know, down in those little tiny things, we know that there is incredibly complex machines, much more complicated than that watch. We'll show you a picture of some of these things next week. We'll just show you how incredible those things are and how amazing they are designed and how they are more complicated than your car. Remember, one drop of your blood has more information than any car you drive. It's more complicated than any car you drive. One drop of your blood has so much information. And I think of Mr. Flew, who's an atheist for 50 years, and we'll read his quote next coming week. But one of the things he said, when life, we thought that the microbial life was just a blob. It was easy to believe that it just happened by accident and the materials came together. When we found the DNA code and found out its information, he says, I can no longer believe that that complicated digital code happened by accident. Atheist for 50 years. And he said, I can't believe that. We understand last week we talked about things digressing. We talked about things getting simpler and things are falling apart. We understand that. But I just want to say the things that are made are speaking. That's what God said. I made things in such a way, and anybody in the jungle, anybody in America can look around and say, huh, stars are rotating, the planets are going just right, we're floating in space, nothing's holding us up, we're just going in a big circle around the sun, rotating constantly with our moon rotating around us, tilting every year, the rain's bringing in the life, and everything's happened perfectly. Looks like clockwork to me. Things that happen by accident don't happen like this. Because they don't. It is not an accident. And there is so much, first of all, the order of the universe, and next week we'll get into it, is the order and complexity of life. The order and complexity of life. We'll finish up with that, and we're not going to be finish up certain little subjects we could, but God's going to say, you know what? Now you're finding out all this technology. Let me show you just my stamp on the microbial things, and things won't develop like that naturally. Because there are machines that are more complicated than you would imagine. Microbial. Little tiny things you can't see without except for a microscope. And they didn't just come together. That doesn't happen. Things that come together naturally look chaotic. All right, we're going to pray and we'll finish. We'll come back in about 10 minutes for church service. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the chance to be here. I pray you bless the service to follow, and I pray you'd help us to forget programming you might have received our whole life. Lord, I know I received it my whole life in public school and everywhere else. Lord, I pray you'd help us to just be logical again and step back and think what a fairy tale this is. And Lord, thank you that we can see that your heavens declare the glory of God. You didn't leave yourself without witness, but you revealed yourself in nature and said there is a creator, so every one of us could see you and be without excuse. Lord, thank you. You revealed yourself to us. Even if we didn't have a Bible, we have nature to see that there is a God. And we thank you for your power and for your goodness. And thank you that you're real, Lord. Thank you. You answer all these questions. And Lord, help us to worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed until church.